Good evening and welcome to the San Antonio Water Company Board of Directors meeting this Tuesday, February 21st, 2023 at 5:01 p.m. Now we're going to do the pledge salute to the flag. Bill Velto.
Please stand, put your hand over your heart. If you're wearing hats, get them off. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And Rudy will now lead us in a rendition of the Star Spangled.
Thank you, Board Member Velto. Do we have any recognitions or presentations?
Staff has none tonight.
Do we have any additions or deletions to the agenda?
Yes, sir. Staff would like to request that we remove items 4E and 4F from the consent calendar. Those are our monthly financial reports that we provide to the board every month. However, these are the December 31st financial reports, and in discussions with legal counsel, it became a little bit interesting, is awkward that the board would be accepting the end of year financial reports prior to receiving the audit from our auditor. The audit will be coming forward to the board next month, so we would like to bring those final monthly reports back to the board at that time for acceptance.
Okay, thank you, council and staff. Appreciate that. Do we have any shareholder or public testimony? I don't see any. So consent calendar 4A. C, G, F, I mean, I'm sorry, C, G, H, I, J. Can I get a move and second it?
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Board Member Velto, and I thought I heard a second by Board Member Goss. Okay, let's vote. Okay, that passes unanimously. That brings us to agenda item 5A, PVPA, Director Parker.
Let's see. PVPA met Wednesday, February 8th. Most everything was routine in nature. There was discussion. Holiday Rock is looking into putting solar panels out on the property so that they can power the conveyor belt to create the brand new basin. That's kind of, you know, that triangular portion of land under Mount Baldy Road. And you know where the new Starbucks is, where it's Claremont and Upland?
Sycamore Heights.
Yeah, that entire area. At the very top, they're going to create a brand new basin. So they're going to put solar power out there because there's no power.
So if you drive to the back of that shopping center, you can see where the conveyor goes underground right there.
Yeah. That's what John was saying. I'd love to see that sometime.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, thank you, Director Parker. Six basins, Terry.
A meeting was held on January 25th. The annual election of officers was held. The only change in the position was the treasurer, John Robles, with the City of Upland. Was elected, and we did honor Brian Bocock with the resolution. And the next meeting is actually scheduled for tomorrow.
Okay, thank you, Terry. Chino Basin, Brian, and if nobody has any questions, go ahead and segue into Cucamonga Basin.
You got it, I will. So at the Chino Basin this month, the 45th annual report was submitted to the courts. The courts denied City of Chino's request for an extension of time to challenge the fiscal year 21-2022 assessment packages. Soon after the court issued that denial, City of Chino filed a motion to challenge the Water Master's approval of the fiscal year 2022-23 assessment packages. So that is in motion now. And then the court also denied Chino's request to remove Water Master from the Ag Pool Terms of Agreement appeal process. So there's a pattern forming here. That's enough. Cucamonga Basin Representatives Report, we met virtually, and we are discussing the water model. We are getting information to the hydrogeologist and getting into the nitty-gritty of grid size and expected results and computing power and what it's going to take to happen. Hopefully we'll get results soon. And we are also in the process of providing data to the hydrogeologists for this year's submittal to the SGMA, state SGMA requirements. SGMA, not SIGMA. So that's where we are.
Okay, thank you, Brian. And then we have 5G is the office and yard feasibility study. This was the ad hoc committee. Who did we? Was that you, Martha? Director Goss? Thank you.
Press the red button on your little doodad there. Yeah.
It's tried. Yeah, we had a great meeting. Will and Mr. Rudy were there, and we have our architect in on the stands out there. We talked about some of the different things that were proposed on the feasibility for the new office location, and some of the changes that we discussed I think will make it much more advantageous. They aren't on the current plans that were submitted to you, but I think our architect can speak to what we need to do, and I see it as a go forward. Yes, it's all you. And I can turn this off.
I would suggest we wait until we get to the agenda item for Eric's presentation. We got the majority of the changes in. Dimensions were not on there, and that kind of confused some people. But they're conceptual drawings. So, okay,
I just great. Thank you, Martha. Okay, agenda item number 6: General Manager's Report and Activities.
So we've had two quick claim requests. The first one is for Emporia Street and Fern Avenue. We have the blanket easement that we regularly run into for the company, which is a good thing for us. We have absolutely no facilities in the area of this parcel, and we don't have any plans to install facilities in this area. So staff is recommending that the board authorize staff to work with legal counsel to draft up a quick claim easement that retains the rights we want to retain, water rights and such, and releases the rights that they need so they can develop their property.
I'll make a motion like that and add to it at no expense to the water company.
Okay, it's been moved by Director Elliott and seconded by Director Goss. Vote.
Helping them. There you go,
and
Pops.
You lost Pop.
Oh, now it's going back and forth. What is happening?
You got to do the longer finger joint.
I got a sense of it.
Okay, that passes unanimously.
Bob's having a seizure.
And that,
I would have had this meeting done.
And Director Elliott did add that no cost to the water company with that one. Brian?
Absolutely. So thank you. 6B is another quick claim. This one is a little closer to home. This is the Foothill Boulevard and Euclid Shopping Center. And just for an understanding of what they're attempting to do, they're trying to separate the gas station out as a parcel from the rest of the development. And there are older easements on older quick claims that the company granted, but they were difficult to pin down exactly. And so staff working with the developer has agreed that we can go back and do another quick claim that releases the rights that will allow them to separate the parcels while still maintaining our rights. If we were ever to put pipelines in this area, we would put them in the right-of-way. We would not put them across private property. So I feel pretty comfortable that this would not be detrimental to the company to release this quick claim. And again, asking for the board to approve staff to work with council to draft up an appropriate quick claim.
So moved.
The developers do provide $1,500 fee to the company for these.
Let's get it done. So moved.
Okay. Moved by Valto. Second by Goss. Is that Goss?
Parker.
Oh, Parker. I'm sorry. I just heard her voice out here.
That's pretty simple stuff. At no cost, right?
Okay, that also passes unanimously. Letter C.
Letter C. This is the Glendale Road pipeline replacement. We contracted to have this designed. Bid openings were held. Our budget was $230,000. That was based on prior contracts that we'd done about 2 years ago when we did the small pipeline projects up in the Heights. Economic conditions have changed since then, obviously. The engineer's estimate came in after the budget was approved. Engineer's estimate was $457,000. I didn't feel it warranted changing the budget until we actually had bid openings, given that it was just 2 months away. The bid openings did occur. CP Construction was low bid, $437,931. If you look at the bid sheet, you'll see that it's not the pipeline that's the cost. It's the externals, the fittings and the joints and the brass components, the metal components. Getting those components is becoming problematic, and obviously they are getting the premium price for these components. Additionally, I did do further due diligence with CP Construction and found out that most contractors nowadays are paying prevailing wage regardless of whether we require it or not. We don't. But they have to. They feel they must pay prevailing wage to maintain their workforce. That if they did not pay prevailing wage, their workers would likely go to another construction company and they would lose good, valuable employees. And so they had to add prevailing wages to this bid to keep their workforce in place. And I understand that. That's a reasonable issue, but it was not expected, unfortunately. And there was lack of communication with the construction companies prior to this bid opening. Additionally, there is a packet on your on the dais in front of you that the county is moving forward with a paving project up in the Heights, a significant paving project. And staff tried to get ahead of the county and asked CP to submit a proposal for two smaller projects, thinking that we could add them to this project tonight to get those done prior to the county actually paving up in the Heights. Unfortunately, as you can see by those proposals, I'm not ready to ask the board to approve $500,000 in capital improvement projects without actually going out to bid, especially when the projects are coming in at $700-$800 a lineal foot. I'm not ready to swallow that price yet, given the fact that the economy is in such turmoil right now. Staff has committed, both Tommy and I have agreed to each other, that we will hold off on pipeline projects in the Heights until the economy figures itself out and we can actually get parts in time and we don't have to have a shortage premium attached to them. So I am requesting that we move forward with the Glendale Road pipeline project. It is an important one, but the smaller pipeline projects I cannot support. So that is where we are tonight.
So I do have a question about the smaller ones, but we can go ahead and vote on what we're supposed to
sure.
vote on first. Okay, because I don't want to get it all mixed into that.
Question. Is CP, is that Chuck Pfister?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Passed.
Yes, he did. Yeah, Chuck Pfister passed
that
away.
License. His name is a corporate license.
Is it his kid's name?
Mike.
Where are they dumping all that stuff when they dig up?
I know that they own property in the canyon that they utilize to store material. I don't know if it's appropriately to call it dumping, but I know there are some that would, and I don't know where else it goes.
Okay, see,
they
should
take it to John.
They might still take it to John for processing. It's possible.
Process it.
No, he's taking it to end of 24. He was taking it at the end of 24th is what he was doing. But he's not. If he's not around, he's not doing it anymore. I just want to make sure he isn't doing that anymore because he was dumping it on the end of 24th.
I think they
on the East End. We had enough complaints about that. Yeah, but the permit expired at once, and he kept dumping. I don't have a problem with it as long as, it, like you said, as long as it's permitted. But we were having difficulties with some of the neighbors up there.
Yeah.
But I told them to call the county. It says nothing to do with us. Call Bob Cable. I said, yeah.
the neighbors tried to drag the company into it as well. So we claimed.
Can we get that moved and seconded?
So moved.
Moved by Velto.
Second.
Second by Parker. Let's vote.
Always think of you, Bob.
Okay, that passes unanimously. Ryan, on those smaller projects, has anyone reached out to Supervisor Armendariz to see what he can do on slowing the process down on the San Bernardino side?
We've been working with the county directly, the County Public Works Department, on the process, and we'd worked out a schedule where we were going to go in prior to them and they were going to delay those projects. So I didn't see the need to step up and go to the supervisor's office. It seemed unnecessary given the fact that we aren't probably going to bid these projects for a good year or 2 years because I don't see the economy figuring itself out anytime in the short term. And I didn't want to delay the county's project.
The county is going to pave then?
Yes. They're going to do a grind and pave over almost all of the entire.
Yes. No, not a reconstruction.
No.
If they're going to reconstruct the road,
Yeah.
Can they pay our $80,000 worth of paving?
For Glendale Drive, they are.
Yeah. No. On these here, there's 425 foot for 30,000 and.
That takes into consideration that we were going to leave that in a ready condition for the county's paving project, but we weren't going to actually finish the paving. Those two bids on the dais.
Did they come back and do it at a later time, those two spots?
The time delay I think it's going to take for the pipeline economy to figure itself out is probably not worth it, and I don't want to upset any residents in the Heights over having bad paving because we're delaying the project.
Well, it depends on what part, how that portion looks. Might be worth looking at.
They get more upset when you crack open brand new pavement. And then
which is why Tommy and I both said, let's just drag these projects out as long as possible and come back at a later date when everything is settled down, county's paving project is well in the rearview mirror. Then we'll come back and consider these two projects.
What I'm getting at is look at those two, because the two we're talking about are not real big. They're cul-de-sacs, aren't they?
One's a cul-de-sac. One is a thruway. One is the Ravina Curve project is not a cul-de-sac.
Well, the Ravina Curve project, I'm not talking about the other ones.
They're
giving you the budget for. If it could be delayed on those, depending on what those streets look like. Because they're right. People don't like getting, once it gets cut open again, they're going to be. Food for thought.
We can reach out.
Yeah, we know. I know. I'll be meeting with him anyway, Jesse, all the time. So
okay. Well, the cul-de-sac was a kind of a nice to have project because it's a 2-inch loop pipeline. Right. It was like, what is this doing here? Let's just get this in the budget and go with it. But that was back when prices were reasonable.
Understood. But as far as the repaving portion of it, if we can get the county to delay that and come back and do it, if it's whatever the time frame is out, depending on the condition of the roadway.
I am willing to pursue that question.
Yeah.
Absolutely willing to ask County Public Works if they could just pause on that cul-de-sac.
Yeah, if there's any pushback, let us know.
Okay.
Yeah. And Bob?
So, Bill, do you know if the county's funds through the BIL, the building infrastructure?
I don't know, but I know it's about $7 million, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good chunk of change.
If it's through BIL, that's actually a five-year.
Which could what benefit?
So we might want to talk to them about that, and they might be willing to play.
Yeah.
As long as it's budgeted, you're okay for it.
Okay.
We're going through that on the airport.
Yeah.
Okay. I will pursue that line of questioning.
If you need any assistance, please reach out to Bill or myself.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then that brings us to 6D.
So as was discussed earlier, the company's ad hoc committee met regarding the 20th Street property. We had the architect present the set of plans, and the plans that are in the board packet partially represent some of the changes that were requested, and I'll go through those real quick. The cul-de-sac, we originally had proposed to move the cul-de-sac westward. There was enough room to do that so that we could get direct access to the parcel from Campus Avenue.
Yeah, I know that.
The committee felt that was unwarranted and unnecessary. We can just go through the cul-de-sac to make that happen, so that is shown as the cul-de-sac remaining in place where it is. The other issues discussed were inside the building, the area between the lobby and the front counter. The door was actually located on the northern side of the front counter. That's been swapped to the southern side of the front counter to be more in line with where the bathrooms are. Should the public need access to the bathrooms, they wouldn't be walking directly through the office so much. And then finally, there was a lot of discussion regarding the operations building and the size of the operation building, ingress and egress to the operations building, the main area of the ops building. It has been enlarged. Double doors have been added. There are no dimensions on the plans. These are conceptual only, but we wanted to capture the nuances and the feeling of what the discussions were. So if the board is willing to move forward, we would obviously work in detail and in closer discussions with the architect to make sure that all of the changes that we talked about and more would get incorporated into the plans. But I think we've got plans that are close enough to get us to the point where the board can decide whether they really want to move forward with this or not. Also on the dais tonight, I did receive it yesterday. There is a contract proposal from the architect. It is approximately $280,000 contract to get us to move-in date. and that represents less than 10% of the proposed construction cost, so I find it pretty reasonable. I am not going to ask the board to vote on that tonight simply because I don't want you to vote on something that I just handed to you. I don't think that's fair to you and fair to the shareholders. But I did want to get it into your hands so you had a chance to review that, and we can bring that back at a later date if you so choose. So with that, I would like to turn it over to our architect, Eric. You can come up and add in or ad lib anything you'd like on this one.
Nice to see everybody. All aboard.
Derek, our legal counsel, new legal counsel.
It meets everybody's needs. And we started off looking at this 20th Street property, and it turned out to be better than the Benson property for a lot of reasons. We looked at, the only real issue was trying to get the trucks to go to the east so that they wouldn't be rolling through the neighborhood. And we found out that the city has that's that city property, and we can put a little road driveway access through there. Then we thought about moving the cul-de-sac so they would never have to enter the public right-of-way and only have to go through one gate. But it just turned out from a cost savings, to just leave the cul-de-sac where it is, and you'll just have to open one more extra set of gates in the morning and close them up again. But the new site is great. It offers all the things that we needed in a way that it keeps out of the way of the large tank that was on the Benson property. And we think that it'll offer a representative kind of building where they can function really well. We made some changes to make the operation side run more functionally, thanks to Martha's input. And we have the building will have enough rooftop that it could probably provide all of its own power if you chose to add solar to the project. We're planning on some public gardens that would teach and represent how to be more water-wise with your landscaping. And we've shrunk the building down about 1,000 square feet in the process to get it to be just what is needed for now and over probably the next 20 years easily. And then the yard itself, it's large enough that it could be expanded over the next 100 years if needed. And we laid out the building in a way that if there was more, if the staff grew, the building could be expanded. If there was a need to expand the operation side, that there's room to grow there as well. We did a study of EMF to see what was going to happen with the tower that's on site, and it turns out that it's all above our heads. And so it poses no health risks. And overall, I think we're pretty much, at least from a space standpoint, we think we've got the spaces dialed down. The design style is looking to be more of a craftsman look or more mission style, depending. And we haven't finalized any kind of thing, but a more traditional look that would be more representative of the community at the beginning of when the SACO started, and it'll be more comfortable kind of a space. So we're very happy with it at this point. At least I'm thrilled with it, but I'm kind of prejudiced. But does anybody have any questions? I'd be happy to try to address them.
Sure. Does topography level go down? Does it drives it from 20th Street? It drops. How many feet does it drop approximately from the front?
I think from the corner of 20th Street on the east side down to the southwest corner of the site, it drops about 10 feet.
So it'll actually make the building in the back look smaller.
Correct? Yes.
From 20th Street.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to have a complaint because how tall of a building you expect on the rear?
Right, and it's going to be a low slung kind of single story building. the operations building behind it will be a little taller.
Right.
But we also laid out the buildings, excuse me, the buildings along the back for all the operations. We'll ask as a sound barrier as well. It'll keep that whole area for the headquarters building and then also keep the neighborhood a little quieter too.
So the elevation from looking from the Howell homes across the street on 20th, looking across out from their properties out over the towards the south, it won't be as obtruse as.
That's correct.
Okay, just to make sure, because that's going to be one that could be a question that some neighbor may ask.
Sure.
So you'll have an elevation for that to be shown in the event we do a public hearing of any kind.
Right, and if that's a concern, we can make sure that as we do the grading of the project, that that's something that's addressed.
We might want to look at that because of the public hearing you're going to have, right? So we want to make sure that people along 20th Street don't feel that they're going to be looking up at a building.
Absolutely.
Which then again, whatever.
Does it currently have a wall? It's been a while since I've been up there. There's a wall right there, correct?
There's part wall, part chain link fence along the property, but it's a filtered chain link fence. It's got the slats inside of it, so there's no real visual access to the property.
Can you explain to them how we were going, the discussion was how we're going to camouflage it with the serrated type wall or something we're looking at, and then trees and such?
Right, so one of the ideas that Brian had was if we can take down a part of the wall and put a steel fence up, it will invite a view in, but it also provide a landscape feature that would be inviting and beautiful instead of residents looking at a big blank wall. We would also still provide a screen to the building and privacy for the headquarters. And in doing that, it'll improve. We're trying to make the neighbors thrilled to have the building there, as well as creating something that'll function for you guys, very well. And so having that building recessed back, hidden by a native landscape, and a naturalized native landscape, not just try to make it look like the original plant community that would be there, all but including shade trees. We would want to have some trees to shade the parking and visitors. And the other thing that we created was we wanted to have a drop box. So if people wanted to make payments without having to come in, they could just swing in. What was the rest of your question? I want to make sure I answered it.
You did, yeah.
Okay.
There it is, Rudy.
You did.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's got a block wall.
It was the wall and the garden in between it,
right,
and such. Yeah.
I just had one thing I wanted to add. I was talking to Brian about this, and that the warehouse area might have a loft in it for storage, so that you could put all the paperwork in there and have a resource to put historical documents and things that won't be cluttered inside the building.
That's a very good idea.
Thank you.
I'll take some notes on this.
And those homes have been...
I have a quick question. Although I respect the committee's concern about spending money on the cul-de-sac, I have a couple questions. Number one, how often are the trucks going to be going in and out and opening two gates? Or maybe they can go out this one and only open one gate. Because I would imagine they don't go out all day and then come back.
No.
And then second, are they going to be automatic gates? And then third, how much money are we really saving making the staff go out and open and close gates?
In preliminary discussions that we've had, Eric and I, we talked about having a clicker that would operate both gates at the same time, so it would simplify staff's ingress and egress. Deliveries would have to be coordinated from Campus Avenue. We don't want delivery trucks coming in on 20th Street, Campus Avenue. So, we would probably either have a gate on the end of the cul-de-sac that maybe would be weight-triggered from Campus Avenue, so that delivery vehicles would have that gate open, and then the gate into the property itself would be open during normal business hours, and so there would be no reason for delivery trucks to actually have to coordinate with us to deliver parts until they got to the warehouse. As far as staff, those deliveries happen maybe twice a week, maybe, on average. I'm spitballing on that one. They don't happen much more than that. Certainly it could be less than that. We probably have weeks where there are no deliveries. Staff-wise, there are probably maybe six trips a day for the field workers to come in and out.
But they're automatic.
And they would be automatic. They wouldn't have to actually get out and open the gates.
Okay.
And putting in a call box would make it easy, too.
Yes, that's true as well.
And this is also just a concept. Just bring to the board And if you all had some other suggestions, we're open to this. This is not a set in stone kind of thing right now. It's just ideas we had. Yep. And believe me, we went back and forth on moving that cul-de-sac because I was for moving it and then just have one driveway. But you know, this, like I said, this is for everyone to put their input in. This is what we came up with. And then from here, we want you all to put in your input on what can make it better.
It sounds like with the automatic gates, it's not that much more work for staff. I just didn't want to annoy staff by having to get out and unlock something and lock it and then unlock something else.
So, I mean, field staff do that probably a dozen times a day mm-hmm. on all the various yeah. sites. It would just be one more site to them. I mean, question. It would give them something to grumble about, but that's not necessarily a bad thing either. But I don't anticipate it being a manual gate. I okay. fully anticipate
all right.
an automatic
gate. That sounds
gate.
Good. Because you have those big, beautiful
gates in front of them. That open up automatically.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think about these things.
So, Eric, the entrance that's on the eastern, western entrance, is that going to remain where it's at, or would it be moved a little bit more eastbound, east? Could it be moved east?
There. What we're planning on is having... keeping the original entrance that's on the sort of the south, it's on the western, but closer toward the middle of the property, but still maybe in the maybe a third up from the western boundary. We're wanting to keep that for maintaining the basin that's there and the other equipment that's there.
So it would not be being used for customer traffic, community.
Right? There's a second gate
that would be added
you can see it on the plan where we cut
right.
the wall away.
I'm seeing it
that
right here.
Would be the gate for the visitors.
So it'd be closer to the cul-de-sac. I'm seeing so that would be the visitors' entrance only. There would not be a second, in other words, ingress and egress for that.
Right. So I would the way I thought of it was people coming east on 20th would turn into the first driveway, do their business, and then move around to the second gate and then turn and go back.
Presently, there's two gates right now, presently. So you'd add two more in the middle between those
yes.
two? Right. So those other, the farthest one would be more of the employee delivery entrance.
Correct.
The two would be, the one would be, it looks like it's right across from the cul-de-sac. The reason I'm looking at those is because those face the side of homes. Those would face the side of homes, which would be much more appealing to people living there. They wouldn't be looking out the front door and constantly see vehicles
right.
pulling right in and pulling right out, whatever the case may be. So that'd be preferable for that area. Because I know I'm in the real estate industry, and I already know what people think. You know what I mean? They're going to look at that and say, as long as you don't have those ingress and egress coming right out in front of their homes, they'll be much more happy with that.
And so from your perspective, we've got them in a good spot? Or
it appears that way. You have it at yeah. the cul-de-sac. It looks like one at the cul-de-sac. I'm trying to anticipate where the other one would be. Hopefully it's on this. There's the homes face east and west. And if you can maintain that,
right,
it'd be more preferable than if you have it where somebody's looking out their front and they look right into the opening of the facility. Okay?
Do you think it would be better if we just had one ingress and egress gate for public, or do you prefer this idea of driving through?
One makes more sense if you could do it.
Because we could do that.
It would not be difficult to put just a single entrance, visitor entrance to the visitor parking space, and we could put it at the T intersection.
You have to have two. Just one ingress and egress. Leave the other one maintenance gate for that pump house. That makes more sense. By the cul-de-sac, where it comes in from the cul-de-sac, absolutely.
Yeah. At the T.
Right. That makes more sense for it to come in and just come in and go out that one entrance. It's easier to control.
Sure.
Where would your bill pay be?
The one that's closest to the cul-de-sac.
That's, I think, employee.
No, not talk about that one. There's one in the middle.
Yeah.
It's right at the top of the cul-de-sac. There's a street, looks like, going up
yeah.
right across from there.
The one at the T intersection.
That's it. I believe
effectively
that's
effectively be making a crossway intersection with the southern entrance to our parking lot.
Yeah. That street is Winston, right at Winston, right in front of Winston Court.
Got it.
Makes sense.
Does that affect your bill pay station? Does that give you enough room for someone to just drive up and pay the bill?
So keeping the gated.
Yeah, you're right. You could redesign it and push it down or do something.
So the idea would be keep the gate at Winston.
Yes.
And get rid of the one that's yeah. the second gate to the farther to the east.
Right.
Because that does open up more toward the neighbor that lives toward the end of the 20th Street. And so
you make it more appealing to the residents. Sure. That you're not going to have people, you know.
Sure, we can make that revision. Yeah. Sure.
So you would just create a cul-de-sac at the end of the parking lot, right? So
they could, yeah, there'd be a way for around. People to turn around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Be more appealing to the residents there.
Everybody agree with that? Are you guys good with that?
I like it.
And I see that as a cost savings as well, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we could do a cost estimate of what it would really cost to move that cul-de-sac, but we weren't so concerned about the cost of the paving and the but what infrastructure might be there at the end of that cul-de-sac that might have to move and what that might cost. And so that's what sort of drove this idea of, well, maybe we shouldn't move it after all.
So there was an issue regarding coming across the easement where that open, like the very corner of the property. In other words, instead of going through the cul-de-sac, it was difficult to make it come in and go right along the side of the cul-de-sac.
Right. If we pulled that cul-de-sac farther to the west, then you're literally on. You have one set of gates.
If you left the cul-de-sac,
just driving straight.
If you left the cul-de-sac and just at the lower bend, if you came around that, you can't go on the inside of the cul-de-sac.
We have to stay on our city property, so I can't. I'm doing my best to avoid having to go to Edison and say, can we have an easement across your property?
So the easement doesn't include that for the city.
Right. So the easement that I'm aware of is basically this
straight line.
20th Street right of way goes straight down across over to campus. And so when we get to the corner of the property, it would be great if we could just, you know, open that up a little bit, and then we could avoid the cul-de-sac altogether. But that would be – that's something we can discuss. I mean, I can contact Edison.
I'm pretty sure I can give you the person's number right now to call.
Sure.
If you'd like me to send it to you. I have it.
Okay, that would
be
great.
We speak frequently.
Then
that might be – Brian, what do you think? Would you rather have it staying in – if you could, without having to go even on the cul-de-sac? Would you prefer that?
I would prefer not entering public streets if possible.
Yeah.
And we could probably get Edison to go along with that. So. I don't think they'd have a big difficulty. I think they'd be, you're basically making it easier for them.
Yeah. And I would request that you would forward that contact information to me. And
absolutely, I'll send it to you.
Eric and I work
on that. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Send it to you right now. Man.
Thank you.
And I just spoke.
Anything else? Okay, so are we going? Is this just a receive and file, or is there anything we have to vote on at this
There's
time?
There's nothing necessarily to vote on tonight. This was an opportunity to get feedback from the board. We will be bringing the contract back for vote at the March board meeting.
Okay.
So, and we remain open to comments, suggestions, concerns, issues. Please keep them coming.
Okay. You all heard that. Feel free to call Brian anytime.
Yep.
Eric, I have just one more thing. I just wanted, when we were talking about the expanse on the warehouse building, I want to make sure that we stay within the margins of preformed doors and what they offer. If we can go 20, 22 feet.
Right. I did 20-foot doors.
Perfect.
I think we had 14-foot doors originally. We widened them out based on your suggestion, and we also widened the building so there'll be more storage.
Yeah. With a loft.
That's right. We can move the loft on the downhill side.
Yeah.
Try to figure out how we can minimize our impact on the horizon for the neighbors.
Hey,
welcome.
Thank
My pleasure.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And that takes us to agenda item. Where are we at?
Close session.
Close session number 7A. So we'll see you in a bit.
All right. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot. Oh, right.
Yeah, thank you.
See?
He's got something special.
Okay, we are back from closed session. Our council?
The board met in closed session to discuss the general manager's review, and there's no reportable action.
Thank you. That'll take us to number eight, director's comments. I know Director Parker had something to say.
Yes, I wanted to say that the San Antonio Water Company will be featured on the Upland Heritage Home Tour on Sunday, April 16th. It was featured in 2008. I was putting together the home tour booklet yesterday and realized that it would be really neat to feature the history of Saco. So,
awesome. Thank you, Katie.
Put an arm guard on the
road. Does anybody else have anything to discuss or want to put on a future agenda? I'd like to put an item for discussion for a future agenda. Can we do that now? I know I talked to you about it, Brian, when during our Christmas parade to see if the company would get in on that and put, you know, put some money in and get on the handout, you know. So the city has the parade and 4th of July, so it's something I would like to discuss, see if the company would be interested in being part of the community in that way.
Absolutely, and I apologize for not putting it on the AFC agenda between then and now, so. You can put that right on the board agenda.
Okay, thank you. And that's just for discussion. And that'll be it for tonight, and we're adjourned.